The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond!
Very nice, Mitch. Welcome, everyone. Enthusiastic. Ladies and gentlemen, friends and family. I have very few family members listening. Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 232, I want to say. I'm Ryan Clements, one of your hosts, and I'm joined by the one, the only, he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
You're playing Sumione the Punkhead.
You guys are Sumione the Punkhead. And we are joined for the first time in Beyond History. Oh, no, wait, unless you've joined when I haven't been on, but I don't think you have. All right. The one and only, Mitch Dyer.
232 backwards is also 232.
Whoa.
What do they call that? Anagram?
No.
It's,
Shit, what is that?
I don't know.
I always forget this one.
We'll think of it later.
Whatever.
Everybody's probably yelling it at their microphones.
You're so dumb.
Those idiots.
So, welcome.
What is an anagram?
Anagram is like when you have one word that also spells another word.
Close. Like, somewhat close. I'm in the ballpark.
It's all the same thing.
God spells dog.
Yes.
So, welcome to Podcast Beyond, the awesomest and coolest PlayStation podcast on IGN.com. Thank you for joining us. So, our one and only, I've used one and only three times now, but we are all one and only.
Yeah, exactly. There are three of us.
Our fearless leader, Greg Miller, is taking the day off, so we decided to step up and record in his place. So, I will be hosting alongside Colin.
I can act like Greg the whole time. What's up, everybody?
That was pretty good. That was actually pretty good.
Cool.
But I don't want you to do that. I want you to be yourself. I want you to be yourself.
Okay.
We have a couple really good topics today, but I think what I would like to do is, yes, we do have some toe, but I want to start with what once was, what is now, and forever will be, the Roper Report.
Time for some news.
Brought to you by Colin Moriarty.
There are 11 items on the list this week.
Oh, it's a hefty one.
That's some news.
They're in order of nothing, really. They're in order of maybe chronological order.
By the way, I totally didn't even say who Mitch was
or where
he comes from.
That's the mystery.
Mitch Dyer is a Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
He's
recently moved to the States.
Yep, he's an associate editor of IGN Xbox.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he often helps on the PlayStation coverage. He actually helped me on Amalur DLC not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Very graciously.
The Legend of Dead Kel or something.
Yes. Yep.
And
Pirates.
Yar.
Yeah. Mitch is a game fan, very knowledgeable. Interesting Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm. I like interesting.
Well, yeah, it is. It's an interesting Twitter feed.
I would have said obnoxious.
No, I don't. I think mine's probably much more obnoxious than yours.
I think that he who links to a bunch of K-pop songs is probably most obnoxious.
He who links to K-pop songs. It sounds like your Indian name or something.
you mean Native American?
I'm sorry, you're Native American.
Yeah, there we go.
My Twitter feed is
have this
nothing.
Conversation again?
Yeah. Let's...
did we have this on the podcast or were we drunk and had this conversation?
Have we ever talked about it on the podcast?
No, probably not.
I don't think so. Do you want to just quickly put it out for audience participation? Participation?
Sure. Air it out.
So Ryan and I want to say argue, because Ryan and I, like, once a week or so with Greg, get drunk at our favorite bar in the Sunset where we live, and we were talking about Indian versus Native American.
Right.
And, you know, I was telling him that, you know, I majored in American history, and so we studied the Native Americans or the Indians quite extensively. And that, you know, there was, it used to be called the Indians and then they were called the Native Americans as sort of a PC thing. And now there's a somewhat of a movement to recapture the term Indian.
Indian American.
Yeah. And, Ryan, argues, especially because his girlfriend's Indian, and he's more familiar with that culture, that it's kind of, it's obviously a misnomer. I mean, they were called Indians because they thought they were in the West Indies, of course, or the East Indies. So I still call them Indians, but I sometimes call them Native Americans as well. I think they're interchangeable.
The whole point of this is just that I think that it's just confusing. It just causes confusion.
Oh, yeah.
So when I say my girlfriend is Indian, I have actually had people be like, oh, what tribe is she from? And I'm like, no, she's from India. Like,
what tribe?
The subcontinent. But yeah, so, it's just, I think it's confusing. So if Native Americans want to be called like Indian or American Indian, I don't care at all. I mean, whatever makes people happy, I just think it will cause more confusion.
I'm not sure.
But American Indian or Indian American would, I guess, work because it would.
Yeah,
it's
that's kind of
clear that it's different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's becoming the new norm.
These are the things that we discuss.
Shit just got real on Beyond.
Yeah, we do. We talk about the serious issues like PlayStation and the cultural identities of the world's peoples. So, Colin, I don't know. Okay, and then we introduce Mitch.
Yeah.
We're all set. So, we're going to jump into the biggest and best news that has hit the PlayStation universe this week.
Yes.
Or rather, this week and probably maybe a little bit of last week. Do you have any of like Friday's news?
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Let's just see what happens.
This Roper report does not necessarily reflect the opinions of IGN.com.
Number one, Rockstar has revealed something interesting about its upcoming games, Max Payne 3 and Grand Theft Auto 5. The cruise, you establish a Max Payne 3 will be able to be imported into Grand Theft Auto 5 and vice versa via Rockstar Social Club integration. So playing one could, I guess, help you in the other. Few other details about the nature of Grand Theft Auto 5's multiplayer modes in particular are known at this time.
Mm.
But I thought that was interesting. That was an IGN exclusive, if I remember correctly. Yes?
Excellent.
Yep, we wrote that this morning.
So, that's exciting. I want to know more about Grand Theft Auto 5, probably one of my most anticipated games. I still think it's coming out this year.
I think we'll see. A crazy person.
Crazy.
Grand Theft Auto games typically, it depends. Like Grand Theft Auto 3 and Vice. No, Grand Theft Auto 3 and San Andreas came out in the fall.
Yeah.
Vice City and 4 came out in the spring.
I think it was summer.
Or like February. Yeah, I don't know when the hell.
Yeah, it was like October or something for 3, and then like 7-8 months later, Vice City was out.
Yeah.
Something like that.
No. 3, I think, came out in October 2001. That was my 17th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was a freshman in college when Vice City came out?
I love how everybody that's listening probably has the internet. They could just look it up.
I want to say Vice City came out in early 2003, but I could be wrong. Number two, although we've known about it for a couple of months, Sony has officially unveiled Little Big Planet carding to the masses with a trailer and new screenshots. United Front Games, the minds behind Mod Nation Racers, are unsurprisingly developing the title with the help of...
Oh, really? Okay. Because I thought that sounded like the biggest fuck you in the history of game development.
No. And it says Little Big Planet's native studio Media Molecule is helping them, even though they don't want to work on Little Big Planet anymore. So I think that's interesting. It seems like, I got the video yesterday from Sony. We held it until the embargo. They looked at the screenshots. It really looks like Mod Nation Racer. So I assume it's really just a reskin. It's probably the same engine.
Do we care about this game?
This is probably what they should have done in the first place.
Yeah.
Because obviously Sackboy has more cachet.
You think so?
Than Mod Nation Racers. Well, yeah, I mean, the Mod Nation Racers. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what Mario Kart works so well, I think, is because it's these characters you know and love. Mm-hmm. Mod Nation Racers was like, or even Crash Team Racing or something like that. Like, you knew these guys. You know, this is interesting.
Hey, guys. I remember you.
I love you, my friend.
But, Mod Nation Racers was, like, introducing this whole new character model thing. And it was, like, the whole create, share,
literally
play.
Literally the only thing I liked about it.
So, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
But that's due out sometime this year. And obviously, United Front is very talented. Hopefully, they can get the load times down on a Little Big Planet karting from the 30 or 40 seconds it takes to load a track in Mod Nation. Actually, Fake Has Her Eye tweeted today. Did you see his tweet about
no, I didn't. Well,
he said something like,
Fake Has Her Eye.
He's like, Little Big Planet karting isn't like the new kart racer for Sony because Mod Nation Racers isn't a kart racer. It's a loading screen simulator.
That's so true.
Amazing.
That's kind of the one thing is that, no disrespect to the studio, but that those games had such bad loading times that I don't really want to deal with that, and I don't really care what game I'm playing. Like, I don't want to wait 40 to 45 seconds for a single track in a racing game to load. That's a long time.
It is a long time for anything to load.
Especially in a kart racer where the match itself takes like 3 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Waste of time.
It's loading for literally a third of your play time.
I could have done 2 laps in that time.
What's weird is what I want to know is, you know, United Front obviously did the PS3 game. I'm not sure they did the PSP game. I'm not positive about that. But Sony San Diego did the Vita game. Even that game had bad load times. There's something about it. Like, I don't
understand.
Yeah,
what's going on? I don't know. What's going on? I don't get it.
Gotta load all them customization pieces.
Yeah, I guess so.
All at once.
What else we got, Kyle?
This one's pretty long. Bear with me.
All right.
Number 3, Sony has revealed February's best-selling content on PSN. I always like looking at this because there's some weird games on here. Thankfully, Amy's not on the list anymore. The top 20 games on the service in order are as follows. The Simpsons arcade game, Gotham City Impostors, The House of the Dead 3, Shank 2, NFL Blitz, NBA Jam on Fire Edition, which will not go away. Infamous Festival of Blood, Grand Theft Auto 4, Jack and Daxter Collection, Real Steel is still on the list. Sonic, which you reviewed, right, Mitch?
No, I did Real Steel.
Yeah, you did review it?
Yeah.
And it was terrible.
Sorry, I thought it meant Sonic. Yeah, Real Steel's awful.
Sonic CD, Madden NFL 12, Resident Evil 4 HD, Mass Effect 2.
Wow.
Mortal Kombat Arcade Collection, Shadow of the Colossus HD, Castle Crashers, Worms, Ultimate Mayhem, Payday the Heist, and Dungeon Defenders.
Hey, Colin.
Yeah.
Sean writes into beyond@IGN.com with a comment, writes... Question for the show. How the fuck does Real Steel continue to chart in the top 20 PSN games? Looking at February's best-selling list, it's actually climbing it, jumping from number 15 in January to number 10.
Stop buying this game.
It's sitting at 41 on Metacritic with a 3 out of 10 from IGN. No one ever talks about it on any podcast I listen to, yet it continues to show up. Does this not seem weird to anyone else? Is this indicative of the widely accepted notion that no one buys PSN games? How can we get these people to stop buying that game and instead buy games that are actually worth the shit?
I think this is
from Sean. Thank you, Sean.
That game.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think he has a point in that. I'm not, you know, Sony never releases the actual sales numbers. Some ingenious people on the internet before have like gone into certain games to see how many people are on the leaderboards and then kind of have garnered how many people have bought the game. They do that with Stardust all the time, which is how we know it's probably the best-selling PSN game. But yeah, I mean, for all we know, this could be several thousand people buying the game. And of course, Real Steel maybe children interested in, maybe some people like that movie. I don't know. Maybe it's cheap. I don't know. I don't think it's on sale or anything.
I remember IGN alum Arthur Geese once said that I think he saw the Real Steel movie and said that it was okay.
People like that. People like that movie
so,
a lot.
There's that, and he's really hard to please. So that really surprised me.
That is interesting. Yes. Yeah, that's a movie I'll never see. The top 10 Vita games in order are as follows. And remember, this doesn't take into account retail sales.
Okay, this is all downloadable.
Yeah, Escape Plan, Super Stardust Delta, Tales from Space, Mutant Blobs Attack, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Plants vs. Zombies, Rayman Origins, Uncharted Golden Abyss, Ninja Gaiden, Sigma Plus, Hustle Kings, and Dynasty Warriors next.
There's not really a bad game on that list. The last two were kind of iffy, but that's a pretty solid lineup.
Yeah, that's a good...
Solid, definitely solid.
Almost all those games are launch games, too.
Mm-hmm. Except for, like, Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, and Plants, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Okay. Cool.
Number 4. Epic Mickey 2, The Power of 2, has been confirmed for PlayStation 3 as well as Wii and Xbox 360, and will be released later in 2012. Does anyone care?
Yeah, the game will be hot on Move.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to use Move.
I think it'll be great, yeah. Come on.
I'm sorry,
really?
I know, Mitch, you're being totally sincere. I laughed. I'm sorry. I can't force myself to care for Move at all.
Okay.
That's very difficult for me. Not to say that I actively dislike it or go out of my way to find things to dislike about it. I just really don't.
I'm with you. Like, I'm not a big
fan. I don't even own a Move at home. Like,
not really.
all my Move experiences are here in the office. Yeah.
I have like two. Killzone was really good on Move.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway.
I'm happy.
Anyway, yeah.
I use Mickey. A mouse and keyboard sometimes. So I don't even know what I'm talking about.
It's funny you say Killzone was good with Move because I went at GDC, I went to a panel where Guerrilla was talking about their experience with the PlayStation Move.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty fascinating, like what they had to, like the technical challenges they had to overcome or whatever. And Killzone is like widely considered like an actually really good game on Move, although I didn't play it with Move. And you know, I'm not a Killzone fan anyway, but I did beat it.
Yeah.
Number 5. It's been confirmed that Assassin's Creed 3's multiplayer suite is being developed by Ubisoft Annecy, the devs that worked on multiplayer components for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Splinter Cell Chaos Theory. So that's interesting. I'm actually kind of curious what multiplayer will look like in that game.
I bet it looks a lot like Assassin's Creed multiplayer.
I bet you you're right.
They got a good thing going, and they didn't change anything in the two sequels. So I don't think, I don't know, maybe 3 doesn't look like that much of an overhaul. Thematically, yeah, but I don't think structurally it's going to change much.
Yeah, I'm excited about that game, obviously.
Yeah.
Clements, any thoughts?
On Assassin's Creed? Not really. Okay. I'm not a huge fan. Totally happy with people that enjoy Assassin's Creed. I kind of missed that boat when it sailed. Haven't really played any of them, and now we're like five games in or whatever. So
Like 80 hours to play.
I will never be able to catch up with those games.
Yeah. If you just skip the next Final Fantasy, you can just play through all those.
I kind of have a feeling I could play three and not just be fine. Three. Yeah, it kind of seems like it's almost a reboot of sorts.
Reboot.
Thank goodness for reboots, man.
Seriously,
we would never be able to play video games if it weren't for reboots.
Remember the show reboot?
Maybe
the cartoon. No.
The show? Yeah,
I thought you were talking baseball.
Oh, the show called Reboot. Yeah, yeah. Yes, I loved that show.
Dude, Canadian made.
Reboot! And then they'd all turn into fucking shit, and then they'd be like...
They turn into shit.
They don't turn into shit. They turn into cool shit, like pirates or space fighters or...
No. That was... Okay, so what happened is they like fast-forwarded 10 years after some dude died, and the young kid from the original series was like a grown-up, eye-patched, bearded badass.
He was a grown-ass man.
Yeah. He was a grown-ass man.
He's a grown-ass man.
What else we got, Colin?
Number six, in an interview with me, Sony Santa Monica's Shannon Studd still revealed that God of War may be indeed headed to PlayStation Vita. And even said that Sony is considering, quote, all options with the franchise, including bringing it to iOS.
Holy shit.
The caveat is that she says, you know, they're considering everything, but that doesn't mean they'll go there, of course. Right. But it was cool. She was very candid. You were there during the interview. We conducted this interview a while ago.
Yeah.
I will tease that I am sitting on a couple of other interviews with Sony first parties that we will be posting soon. Clements was there for one, which I think was even more fascinating than the Santa Monica interview. And that was with one of the executives of Sony San Diego. And that will go up next week, probably. And I'm also sitting on an interview with Sucker Punch, although I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet. I kind of want to interview them again, to be honest.
You know what I just remembered how to do?
Yeah.
I remember how to draw an anime eye.
Oh, okay. Yep.
You even got like the light reflection.
Yeah.
In addition to
I used to be obsessed with drawing anime faces, and it totally just came back to me as we were talking. what else, Colin?
Number seven. I Am Alive. Ubisoft's long in development downloadable game is coming to PlayStation Network the week of April 4th. You give a shit about that.
Nope.
Number eight.
Hooray.
Is Dragon Age 3 in development? It may very well be. The series creative director, Mike Laidlaw, remarked on Twitter that BioWare is completely done working on Dragon Age 2 post-release support and, quote, has fully moved on to the next thing, end quote. What the next thing is, of course, remains to be seen. I assume it is Dragon Age 3, but
totally.
We'll see.
Yep.
Never played a Dragon Age game.
Oh, man. Play Origins. You can skip 2. 2 is okay.
I played the first one. I wasn't crazy about it.
First one's great. Great story.
Yeah, I don't know. There was something about that game that felt like it didn't belong on a console.
Oh, yeah. No, it's clunky as fuck on a console.
Yeah, I don't play PC games.
Gameplay-wise, it's totally meant to be played on PC. Played on PC.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
It was good?
Yeah. Clients will play it on PC.
Yeah, I will. Actually, I will, Colin.
Yeah.
Wake your ass up.
I'm so tired. The last games I played on PC were Civ 5, which I was like straight obsessed with.
Yeah.
And Shogun 2.
Much as you make fun of me for PC gaming, there are PC games you have enjoyed.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, totally. Civilization is like awesome.
Yeah. I also played Civ. I own Civ 5 and I still don't really know what to do. Like I started it, I played it, I booted up and it's like, you know, go through this tutorial and I was like, and they're like, "All right. Well, now you can make Civilization."
Shogun's the same way. The tutorial's like 3 hours.
I had no idea what to do.
Shogun's tough. I didn't play it for very long because I was like, I feel like I'm out of my depth here.
It's really difficult.
But Civilization's, I can deal with it. But what bothers me about Civ 5 is that there's like a finite end. And I wish that the game would just end when someone wins. You know, like
it would
like,
take so fucking long.
I know, but I just feel like the parameters bother me. Like you can't diversify. You really have to go in like one direction, and I don't like that. Like Civ 5 actually becomes less fun when you get towards the end, I think. Like I think it's really fun in the beginning and the middle.
But then, I would agree with you there, yeah.
But then I feel like it kind of loses its way. But it's still really fun. I played it for like a month straight on my couch. number
on your
9.
Your little laptop?
Yeah. I had the mouse on the arm of the couch.
Yes.
Number 9. EA has announced a new wave of server shutdowns for some of its legacy games. Amongst the PS3 games in particular affected as of April 13th are EA Create, EA Sports Active 2.0, The Godfather 2, which I love, EA Sports MMA, Need for Speed Pro Street, The Saboteur, and Spare Parts. Spare Parts was bad.
Yep.
The PSP game FIFA 10 will also be affected. So if you want to get online with any of those games, you better do it now, especially if there are trophies you need to get. I know Godfather 2 won't be affected in terms of trophies, so don't worry about that, friends.
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about it. And that's easy plat.
Plat.
Number 10 is Ignition Entertainment working on a sequel to El Shaddai Ascension of the Metatron.
I hope they are.
You love that game, Colin.
Yeah, it was great. A new Japanese website posted by Ignition indicates that this may be the case, teasing, quote, El Shaddai, new project 2012, end quote, with text that reads, quote, who is the ultimate angel who God speaks of, end quote. We reached out to Ignition PR. I talked to them. They refused to comment on their plans with
El
Shaddai.
They just said, Gabriel.
Yeah, Gabriel. El Shaddai, of course, I don't know if you guys remember. We talked about it, actually. We talked about it last week.
The game I always wanted to play and never gotten to either.
It's a beautiful game. It's also a pretentious and unfocused game. And I hope that they do a lot to fix that, because there's definite potential to be an amazing game there somewhere in the mess of pretension.
Okay. Pretension.
Number 11. This is an interesting story because it's such a divisive game. Shenmue HD may be coming to PlayStation Network soon. According to a source reported by GamerZines, quote, with ties to Sega, end quote, Shenmue HD has apparently been finished and ready for release for over a year. Furthermore, Shenmue 2 HD is also finished, apparently, and awaiting release. If and when these games will find their way onto downloadable services remains to be seen. Now, the thing about Shenmue, I don't know a lot of people had Dreamcast and played Shenmue. You know, we obviously had Dreamcast, but maybe some younger gamers didn't, or people skipped it or whatever. That game has apparently not aged well, but I remember it quite fondly.
Yeah, I think we all do.
So I'm anxious to see.
But then when we go back and it's like, do you know where I can find sailors?
I should buy another.
I don't know. I'm interested. I just feel like that game was so ahead of its time, and I don't. Maybe. Well, now it's 11 years later. So,
I'm looking for a man that can read Chinese characters. Anyway,
I wonder why Sega's holding them.
Who knows, man? That's wild.
Because Sega's been releasing all sorts of shit on PSN.
Well, thank you very much for that bunch of news, buddy.
Good rundown. Sure.
Yeah, that's very good.
That's it.
All right, very good. Well, let us continue on with our show. I don't know. Colin, question for you.
Mm.
If I wanted to go buy a game, right, and I was thinking to myself, man, what games in my Grom and Grop video game store can I get? Where would I turn to acquire such information?
You go to the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Man, you nailed that jingle today. That's good.
There are four retail games and four downloadable games to speak of.
I got all the downloadable.
You got the downloadable games, so we'll skip that.
Yeah.
Retail. Ninja Gaiden, also known as Ninja Gaiden 3.
Yes.
Mitch, you reviewed that?
Yeah, the game's awesome. No, don't play it.
What'd you give it?
3.
3.0. It's rough.
That's real steel. Ninja Gaiden 3.
That's rough. That's
equates to real steel.
Almost as bad as Amy. Mm-hmm. Resident Evil almost. Operation Raccoon City, which also got a terrible score, right?
4.
So not terrible. Bad.
And people say that we give every game a 9.
Well, no, 8.5, I think, is the score that they claim that we give everything. Silent Hill HD Collection, which we gave a good score. Did you review that?
Yeah, it's a 9.
You reviewed it?
Yeah, the game's incredible.
I'm excited. How are the trophies?
I don't care. Sorry,
I just don't remember. That concerns
me. It's actually, they're really far apart. Really far apart.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, I got maybe 3 having finished both games.
Jeez.
That concerns me.
They really concern me. You have to know Silent Hill in and out, because what they want you to do is go out of the way, collect all the stuff to get all the endings. So it's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's
probably not worth your time.
This concerns me.
I really do think that trophies should be more about enjoyment than work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree in the sense that Greg and I were talking about this. Like, what if there was a trophy or an achievement consultant? That was your job, because when the game was like kind of like 80% done and they start considering what they're going to do with trophies and they start patching everything.
How do I manage my trophy time? I need a manager.
It's just like you need to know like some games. First of all, like we've talked about in the past, there's evidence, there's data that suggests that games sell significantly better if they have easy trophies, including to the tune of like, what you remember the story was like 30,000 extra units or something for like a children's game, for instance, if it has like easy trophies.
Really?
Yeah.
Dudes like me will be like, oh, because they're on the Xbox.
So like I like a trophy list. Like, I think Godfather 2, like we just talked about, is like a really fair game to get trophies on. Like, just be thorough, but you don't have to be stupid, you know? Like Mafia 2, was a good example. And then there are games like Grand Theft Auto 4 that are outrageous, or games that require you to be online all the time and stuff. Like Uncharted's another fair one, I think. But I don't know. I enjoy the trophy hunt, but I have no energy anymore.
It bothers me when they're like tied to certain days. Like, play on March 12th at 6:16 p.m. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, there's one in Arkham City for
the calendar man one's great, though.
Yeah, I mean, but you have to if you don't want to do it organically, you have to fuck with your like internal clock. The one that sucks is Crysis 2 had one where you have to sign online and then sign online 6 months later. Ugh. And you get a bronze trophy. And then people found out that it was glitched.
After half a year.
Like, they waited, they had everything.
Finally time.
Like, it was impossible to get the platinum trophy until 6 months after the game came out.
I think Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway had something like that where, like, the year anniversary of the game, you could get the achievement. But I don't know if it like worked on the second, and third, and fourth year. So I think you had like one chance.
Yeah, that's rough. And so yeah, some games like Calling All Cars, I think, is an example. Twisted Metal, I think, has a trophy where you have to be like at the top of the leaderboard or something, like something yes, impossible. Where like it's gross. Like it's and that's not fair because that means that like there's just that trophy's impossible to get.
Yeah, I totally agree. So Colin's next job is going to be trophy consultant. Colin Moriarty, trophy consultant.
Good.
I will say too that because I've been talking a lot about this, just real quick. Plants vs Zombies on Vita has a platinum trophy. I've been trying to chase that. Man, oh man, is endless mode hard on that game.
It's not called endless for no reason.
You got to get 40 waves in. I've gotten like 32 waves. I feel like my setup is just so good. You know, it's got the corn, the might of the corn cob.
The corn
cannon.
Cob cannon. My favorite thing Colin has ever discussed to me in gaming is the corn cob cannon.
It's
he
integral.
He showed me his setup in Plants vs. Zombies Endless Mode, and the screen doesn't even make sense. It's just
and it doesn't
completely
move, like,
filled.
It's like
a three frames
too.
A second.
Yeah, it doesn't
it's like,
doesn't
oh
run.
My God.
It's
what
awesome.
A disaster.
And finally, Armored Core 5, which I don't know if we've reviewed yet.
I think Keza might be working on it from our UK team, but I'm not entirely sure.
I believe that's correct.
That's it. Yes. What are the digital downloads?
We got, dude, this was like a big week. First of all, the Spring Fever is continuing with Rayman 3 HD.
Rayman.
And also, there are about 4 bajillion things on sale this week. I don't know if you guys have seen all this. But so just to start, like, here are some PlayStation Plus discounts for Spring Fever. Final Fantasy IX, Final Fantasy Origins, Final Fantasy Tactics, Final Fantasy V, Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, Dissidia, Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy IV, The Complete Collection, Final Fantasy Tactics, The War of the Lions.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. Could you repeat those?
Sure. Almost every one of those is a 50% discount.
That's
so
pretty
if
rad.
You guys want to play some Final Fantasy, this week is the week to get them.
Man, get Tactics for sure.
Yeah,
there's the
original Tactics and War of the
Lions. Yeah,
get
War of the Lions.
Of the main games, 1 through 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, like what's the one to play?
The one,
yeah.
Have you, oh yeah, you're not like
no.
Final
I like
Fantasy
I played.
Guy.
I played 7. It was okay. I played 10. I liked it a lot. But like, what, is there like 5, 6, 3? What's the one people love?
6 and 7.
Six
really.
And seven are the ones people seven. Love. Yeah. I'm partial.
More
I'm partial
six.
To six.
Maybe I'm a little more partial to 7, but I still really love 6.
Is 6 the one with the Espers?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Just as a note. What I was going to say, real talk, is that even though War of the Lions had an infinitely better translation, it was just a really cool game, I still think the original Tactics ran better. Like, it was smoother.
Yeah, it did, because when you were casting spells or summons,
oh,
whatever,
it was so slow. And to me, that like kind of hurt it a little bit, but what are you going to do?
That's such a fine game, though. Yeah, I think
both versions are totally playable.
Yeah, I think so, too. And what I'm really confused about, I understand that they released Tactics twice on GBA or DS or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess one on GBA and one on DS. But, like, where's the proper Final Fantasy Tactics 2? Because those games were, like, kind of, I don't want to say kiddie games, because they weren't children's games. They were hardcore strategy RPGs. But, like, where's the proper...
Yeah, like, the continuation.
Middle English Final Fantasy Tactics game. It's been 15 years.
Maybe the boat sailed on that one too, man.
It's just
Jeez.
Weird. It's just weird. I feel like that game would sell like a boatload if they did it.
A boatload.
A
even.
Boatload.
The How boat, big of a boat
the
are
boat
we
may
here?
Have sailed, but it could still sell a boat.
I mean, don't you think though? I mean, really, like realistically, like that game would probably do in its first week in Japan 1 million units, and I think that you know 5 million worldwide would be an easy mark for that.
A million
game.
In Japan is pretty crazy.
It is, but you know that crossover Koei Namco game that came out like 2 weeks ago in Japan did like it's like Dynasty Warriors but with like Namco characters too. I don't know exactly what the hell it is. It sold like 800,000 copies on PS3 in its
Jesus.
First week.
The Japanese right. really love specific kinds of games, man.
Yeah, God
it's
bless
crazy.
Them.
Yeah, God bless them. The gods bless them, perhaps.
There we go.
What else?
So Vita games. Sumioni Demon Arts. Which, Colin, fill time for talk to me about Sumioni.
Yeah, I'm playing it for review. It's I'm not sold on it at all, really. I think it's a little too expensive. Really good idea, really beautiful game. Nice idea. Like it's about kind of going through stages. It's a side-scrolling action game. You go through stages. The better your rating is, the different stages you go to. So you have all these different stages to explore, but you can only get them by getting good ratings. So it's a nice idea, but it's like kind of you can literally beat the game in like 15 minutes the first time through. It's just like
because so you are reviewing it, right?
Yeah.
Because Brandon wrote in to beyond@ign.com and wanted to know who was doing the review.
I'm doing it. I wanted to get it up today, but I'm not going to get all the endings. I want to beat it one more time though. And the bosses are pretty difficult.
Okay.
It's a good idea. I just think it misses the mark. I can't really explain it. I'll explain it better on the review, obviously. That's it.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Mm-hmm.
PSN games. Let's go through them.
Okay.
Warriors Orochi 3.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's the better game with Ryu Hayabusa in it this week.
True.
Really?
Yeah, he's in it.
All right, nice. Rayman 3 HD, as mentioned before. And then full PS3 games, Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine.
Game's good.
Yeah, it was, it's actually. Fun. I heard it was a lot of fun. I heard it was a lot of fun. And again, as mentioned before, Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, The Legend of Dead Kel is now available on the PSN for $10.
What a fine game that is.
Indeed.
I'm glad it sold well.
Yeah, and yeah. I almost wish so. I played. I sunk many hours into it, and I didn't beat it because, like, just more shit came out, as usual, and it's just these games that require that much time.
It was a blessing. I mean, it was a stressful time reviewing Amalur and then Mass Effect, but I'm glad I was able to review them because I think that was the only way I got through them.
Yeah, you got through both of them.
You know, especially Reckoning.
And I've been told by a Beyond listener, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to find that email. Give me one second. Mitch, fill time.
Out on Xbox Live Arcade this week, Asinemura.
Yeah, that game looks cool.
It does. That's really pretty.
It's a shmup, right?
Yep.
Who developed it?
That was Grasshopper Manufacture and some Polish studio or something I've never heard of.
Oh, man. Thank you for that time, Phil.
Was the Polish studio Plastic that's bringing us Datura on PlayStation?
I don't know. Nope.
someone did write into Beyond and said that SAR, Search and Rescue, is worth downloading because they had really fond memories of playing it, I think. I can't find the email.
Is that like
sent.
A PS1
so
game?
That's a mini
it's a
game.
Mini. It's a mini for $2.99.
That's a reasonably priced mini. They're not quite there yet.
They're on their way. They're on their way.
Space Shooter for $2, still the best mini, I think.
I never really paid attention to the mini scene.
You haven't missed anything.
Yeah, you really haven't missed much. Hey, Colin.
Yes.
I have a fun little segment.
Okay.
The segment is Ryan Clements reads PlayStation Mini descriptions.
Okay, great.
I love it.
Now, this was old. This came thank you very much to Chris, who sent this in, when I said that I couldn't access the Hungry Giraffe description.
Okay.
So I'd like to read it now.
Oh, please do.
Oh, good.
If you guys
good.
Don't mind. Yeah. All right. And this, Chris writes, I wrote the entire description verbatim. All spelling, grammatical errors, and random capitalizations are not my doing. This is the description for Hungry Giraffe on the PlayStation Network. It sucks when you're hungry. Sometimes you just want to bury your face into a burger or tear into a taco. Out in the African savanna, a hungry giraffe feels your pain. A 20-foot-tall, 1,200-kilogram animal like a giraffe needs to chow down on tons of food each day just to stay alive. But oh no, all the tastiest leaves have been eaten.
No!
While up in the sky, endless quantities of snacks, fruit, and junk food hover just out of reach. Hungry Giraffe features the world's largest and hungriest ever toad undulate. I don't even know what that means. Through skillful steering of his neck, you can propel your half-starved giraffe on his twisty-turny upward journey, chomping on strawberries, fries, sandwiches, and naughtier treats.
Ooh.
But beware, the skies are also strewn with hazards. Poison, anvils, and non-prescription drugs also hover up there, ready to send your unwary giraffes plummeting to earth. Hungry Giraffe is by far the greatest giraffe-feeding minigame of all time. Dare you miss out?
No. Obviously, I'm going to buy this immediately.
That's pretty awesome. It seems like the developers are having fun with that one. That wasn't quite like the Orbit one or Super Stacker.
Yeah.
Which we were listening to yesterday via the PlayStation or Podcast Beyond app on iOS.
Yes, yes.
Super Stacker. Who doesn't love to play with blocks?
Yeah. What does it say at the end? It's like, until the time say so or whatever.
Until the time. I forgot about that. But thank you, Chris, to write in Hungry Giraffe. I love
that
description.
I enjoyed that thoroughly.
It's actually, and I made a little error. It's not a mini game. It's by far the greatest giraffe feeding game. Okay. So it's a full giraffe
Bold
feeding
claim.
Game. Yeah.
That's funny as well.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Tired.
Real good.
Yeah, I know you're tired. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But otherwise, we're all hanging in here.
No, thank you.
No,
okay. I'm all right.
I have a bunch of questions. Shall we answer some reader questions?
I would love to.
If you would like to join our conversational podcast, always feel free to email us. Send them to beyond@ign.com, where you can join in on our conversation.
Are we going to do to as well, or are we just going to do reader questions?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I don't know if we're just going out of order or not.
No, let's, you want to do to first, or do
questions? I don't know, it doesn't matter to me. Let's just do the questions.
Okay. I can pick as many or as few as I want. So let's do one from Timothy Johns. How's that sound?
Okay.
All right. So he writes, Beyond. Ryan.
Beyond.
Favorite K-pop group. Well, that's Girls' Generation. Shionoshide. Colin, Orange Juice with or without pulp?
Without.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Greg.
For real.
No, that's me.
No, there's a guest one, too. Greg, chicken wings, one bone or two bone?
Two, all obviously. Right. Yeah, two bone. Come on.
And guest.
That's me.
Favorite color?
Ooh, blue.
There you go. Beyond. That was our first question. Anyway, so Ethan asks, what are IGN's plans for PAX East? Who's going? Will there be another meet and greet panels, etc.? Ethan, I don't believe any official editors are going to be going. When I say official, I mean I'm not sure if we're going to be singing freelance or not. But I do know that some of the 1UP crew is going to be there, including Jeremy Parrish, who is an awesome dude. The one and only.
I love Jeremy Parrish. Have we ever talked about the fact that like I love Jeremy Parrish? And when I was a young man, he started that website, the GIA, which was like my favorite fan site ever.
I know that you have mad respect for him.
I do. He's like one of the people that in the industry I absolutely have like the most respect for. His knowledge of games, especially retro games and RPGs, is insurmountable.
Really good.
Yeah.
He kind of knows his stuff.
He really knows his stuff. I don't even bother talking to him about games because he's just going to educate me.
So, yes, I would say that, unfortunately, I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast before, but PAX East probably won't have a big presence there this year, but you never know. Maybe next year.
Maybe Prime.
Or maybe Prime. Ben writes in about my Tales of Graces F review, which I kind of wanted to talk about briefly. Ben writes, I didn't really like the new review style you used for the Tales of Graces F review. It felt incomplete to me since the opinions were based on only a small fraction of the game, so it was more like the first entry in a review in progress. I didn't mind not having a score. The review is enjoyable to read, but I wouldn't consider it a full review. Keep up the awesome content. Love the site. Beyond. This is from Ben. So thank you. This is the great kind of constructive criticism I like to hear because it's very polite, has some good points to it.
Yep.
To have a very honest conversation about this review, this is a situation where we really didn't have the capacity and the time to cover Tales of Graces F just in our schedule because that game probably requires a solid 60 to 65 hours, I would guess, to get through and beat. But I really wanted to write about it because I was really enjoying it when I started playing it. And so I decided to do to catch people up. I basically wrote a review, but it didn't have a score, and it was based only on a 20-hour chunk. And that was all and I think that's still a sizable amount of time. Now, of course, this isn't some sort of thing we're moving towards. I didn't mean to make anybody think that we are going to move into a non-scored system. We still have scores. We're still doing traditional reviews. But in this particular case, it was just kind of out of an interest of time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely, I still really much want to cover JRPGs, and sometimes hopefully we might be sending them to other freelance writers to cover reviews when the in-house editors just don't have the time. Because you have to consider a standard work week is 40 hours, and that's like raw hours. That's considering all the meetings, email, writing, everything. So doing a single review for this game would take like 1.5 work weeks if I didn't take a single second of break time. it's just very difficult to do.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we talked about this as a team and the PlayStation team in particular because we basically have all the RPGs on our console. So, you know, not all of them, most of them, especially the Japanese RPGs from NIS and all those guys. So, and obviously the Tales game is a port of a Wii game, but I like the idea. I mean, Clements and I were talking about Ni No Kuni in particular. Like, that's a game we'll obviously, you know, Clements will beat before your reviews and a Final Fantasy game Clements, you know, beat Final Fantasy 13 too.
Yep.
I think it's just got, and Tales is big. I mean, Tales is a big game, no doubt, but and a series I love and respect, but it's not as well known.
Yeah, and it's not as well known, and unfortunately we obviously want to cover the games that the most people are clamoring about, so we can get the most information to the biggest audience. And with that, I know that there are many of you that are really hardcore devoted Tales fans. That's great, but you are not the majority, and that's unfortunate because I love Tales. But it's just an issue of time, and you know that's really all there is to it.
Yeah. The important thing was just getting a message out there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I really, the review was just me saying you should buy it, which I think is the most important thing, because I think people should buy it. And I think 20 hours is totally fair if the game is still fun and good after 20 hours.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I like to beat the game when I, you know, with rare exception. We've talked about this before when I review it, but 20 hours of Tales, I mean, unless it's a game like Xenogears or something where, like, it totally falls off the cliff at the end and, like, just isn't a game anymore or something like that. Like, 20 hours is pretty reasonable. Like, I think you could have, I think, given 30 hours, maybe, I think you could have made the argument that you probably could have scored the game. I mean, like, I, you know, and I wouldn't even think that it would be super inappropriate if you scored it at 20 hours, but I respect that you didn't because you weren't comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But 20-hour investment into a game where virtually everything else we review that's not an RPG is over in 20 hours.
Yeah.
Like, long before 20 hours.
Yeah, long before.
That I think that that's reasonable and fair. But I often think about, you know, man, we didn't work here. We were in high school and maybe early in college, but PlayStation era, when there was a JRPG like every week for 5 years. I wonder like how they handled reviewing all those games. It must have been pretty tough.
Didn't sleep. Didn't
Grandia, Wild Arms, Metal Fantasy, Suikoden, go, go, go.
That was a friggin' million of them. That was a golden era, though.
Speaking of JRPGs and the golden era, this question is from Kyle, who writes, I've been looking to scratch a very serious JRPG itch lately. I've been digging Eternal Sonata, although strange difficulty spikes, timed button presses, and Beat's grating voice turn me off. Well, then you should just change it over to Japanese. But anyway, I've been looking through your past reviews, he's referring to me, for JRPGs on IGN, and as a big Star Ocean 2 fan, I was wondering if you feel Star Ocean The Last Hope International is a worthwhile buy for $13. Yes, you would be out of your mind if you didn't buy that game for only $13. I love that game. It was really good. That's also another one that takes about a billion hours to beat, but I really enjoyed it. So yes, Kyle, you should buy Star Ocean.
Did you beat that one before you reviewed it?
I don't remember. That was a long ass time ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. I have that game unopened on my shelf still.
It's so good.
When I look at like my PlayStation games, like I have all of these games, a bunch of games, and like half of them I haven't even opened because I just don't have any time. And then the games that I do open, like Splatterhouse, I'm like, why did I open this game and play it? That's one of the games that's been staring me in the face. You know what the other RPG that's staring me in the face is? Nier. And I played that game for 5 hours, and I don't like it.
Do you remember Nier? Yeah. That
I like that game.
That game was kind of a. Did you ever play this?
No, I just heard it was really, really funny.
Funny?
Yeah, like people love the writing in that game.
It actually does have like a lot of surprisingly good jokes in it, but it was more really interesting. Like that was probably one of the most interesting games I've played in many years because they did a lot of really crazy shit. There was a really heavy reliance on very interesting and well-written dialogue and even like actually written text.
Yeah.
It's just a really fascinating game. The story is also kind of like crazy in like a cool way. I don't know. I would actually suggest people, if they have a really open mind about games, to check me out.
Yeah, that's one I've been meaning to get to as well.
Yeah, it's cool. I stopped playing it. I don't know. You know, we've talked about this before. There's just no time, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
There's no time, though, especially these long-ass games. That's why I'm like, you know, I want to play. I'm going through Mass Effect 3 again, and it's like, I don't even know if I really want to do this. Not because I don't love it, because I do, but because it's like, I want to play Silent Hill, and I want to play, like, a bunch of other games, and I don't even want to try Ninja Gaiden.
Don't.
We'll see.
Andy writes, there are so many half-price Final Fantasy games on PSN this week, and I haven't played any of them. Which of them are must-buys, or must-guys?
Must-guys.
As we said earlier, it's Final Fantasy 6 and 7 are definitely good choices.
I think Tactics. Yeah, and Tactics, yes.
Yeah.
I think you could make a reasonable case for 5 and 9, too. 8 out of that group is, like, my least favorite, but I think...
And there's still a lot of people, including myself, that enjoyed 8.
No, I know. And what I'm saying is that, like, I think Square charges $10 per game, so it's $5. You can get 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for $25 right now. That's a really good
deal.
It's
like 700 hours of RPG gameplay.
Like, I
will never have to buy a game again.
Yep.
I've even been considering, I mean, we talk about this lack of time. Like, I look at these Final Fantasy games, especially because I have most of them on my PS3 already, and I just kind of want to put them on my PSP or my Vita and play them all again. And like write a piece about going back and revisiting it. But again, that's like Mitch said, that's like a several hundred hour, 500 hour probably between the five games, six games, investment. I just don't have that kind of time investment. But man, if you've never played those games, see, this is the thing we talk about. Like when you've never seen Seinfeld before and you see it for an episode for the first time, and like I don't know what that's like. I haven't known what that was like since I was a kid, but I can only imagine what that must be like.
Yeah.
It's like playing Final Fantasy VI for the first time. Like if you really never played that game,
it's special.
$5.
Yeah.
It's like one of the greatest games of all time. So I say go in and get them all.
I'm going to grab that when I get home.
There you go.
You ought to.
Good boy, Mitch. Good boy.
Yep.
I know that a long time ago Greg said we would never do Mary Boff Kill, but there was a pretty good one in here that I wanted to do. We haven't done one in a really long time.
We kind of took that
this
over.
This is from Graham from Dublin, Ireland, and then he says, "Greg, insert Irish accent here," but I don't even want to try. Can anyone do an Irish accent?
No.
Mitch, nope, you have like reddish hair and freckles.
Yeah, I have like I have Irish lineage.
Yes, but you can't do an accent?
No.
No problem.
No, sorry.
Anyway, Graham threw together a Mary Boff Kill for each Podcast Beyond member. Enjoy. Also, could I be hit of the week? Sure. My PSN name is Graham Carney, GRAHAMCARNEY. It's all one word. PSN and confirm. Yes. So there you go, Graham. Mitch, you tragically have to do Greg's. Are you ready?
Okay.
So you know Mary Boff
Do
Kill,
I now do, yes, yes. We do it on Unlocked every week.
Yes. Okay. There we
do
go.
Do I need to get into Greg's mindset or am I still me?
No, this is you. Okay. You just have to do this one.
Okay.
The Infamous Games.
Okay.
The Uncharted Games. Mm-hmm. Portillo's Hot Dogs. Imagine Greg doing this one.
I don't know what the fuck out. Hot dogs are. So
it's a restaurant. He's like
his favorite place.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna marry Infamous.
Okay,
I'm going to boff the hot dogs and kill Uncharted.
Wow!
Wow! Kill I'm Uncharted.
Just because 3 really pissed me off, and I'm putting my faith in those hot dogs.
That's not misdirected. It's not misdirected faith.
I'm putting my faith in those hot dogs. Colin.
Yeah.
The Resistance Games.
Yeah.
The Mega Man Games.
Yeah.
And the New York Islanders.
Oh, man.
That's rough. Boff Kill.
That's real rough. All right. This is easy, though, actually. I marry the New York Islanders because it's going to pay off one day.
Yeah.
I'm going to boff Mega Man. And I'm going to kill Resistance because it's already dead. So it's really not that hard to kill it now.
I guess so.
I suspect Burning Skies will be the end of the road.
Graham gave me a impossibly difficult one.
Okay.
Final Fantasy Dissidia.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
Girls' Generation.
Oh, no!
I'm going to kill Final Fantasy Dissidia.
I thought you were
going to
kill
because
seven.
I still have Duodecim. Oh! I'm going to marry Girls' Generation because I love them and they're so cute.
You're going to marry Girls' Generation?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to boff Final Fantasy VII because some of the characters in there, very attractive. Tifa Lockhart.
More attractive than that girl group that you like? Girls' Generation?
All right. If this is coming out on the podcast again, I don't know if we've ever discussed this recently. All the members of Girls' Generation, my favorite Korean pop group, I have never fantasized about any of them. I only see them as like the sort of admiration, very pretty, like really respect them.
You respect them too much to fantasize.
Like them. I think they're really cool, talented, all this stuff. I still fantasize about them.
I see that picture on your laptop every day, and I just want to
fall into that.
And I'm like, all right.
You glance over and have a fantasy yourself.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, a lot of my friends have teased me about this over the years, but there are a lot of cases where, when I had a crushes on girls in high school, for example, I didn't fantasize about them. It was like this weird thing where it was outside sexuality, like it was something else, which then could evolve into sexual attraction, but it usually started as totally innocent. Not shut up, man.
No, I'm
opening up.
I know. I'm not making
fun of you. Having a moment.
I know. Yeah, it's just weird. I mean, everybody teased me about it. I think it is kind of funny. I mean, I don't know many guys that are like this, but I know someone out there understands.
Everyone in high school is being all high school. Like, oh, nail that broad. And you're like, gentlemen. I think that we are.
She's a doll.
Just stand up, lady.
So yeah. Anyway. Cool. That was good.
Yeah. Good job, everybody.
Let's do, I don't know how Greg keeps this so seamless. It's difficult.
I know.
Difficult.
Structure.
A lot of these are actually really too long. Again, remember, please make your questions as short as possible just for in the interest of time.
Where do I send those?
beyond@ign.com. Thanks, Mitch.
You betcha, buddy.
This is from Sid from Los Angeles and wants to know when, if ever, Mike Mitchell is going to be on the show.
Never. Haven't I already told everyone that Mike Mitchell's never allowed back on Podcast Beyond?
Why? What happened?
No, there's no reason. I just like making fun of him.
I thought there was an incident.
No. So
the incident is that he's my roommate.
Yeah.
I think that's a good amount of questions for this week. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for all these questions. We love all the Beyond fans, and we appreciate your continued support. Right before we get into topic of the week, I would like to remind everyone to visit IGN, obviously, because that's where our lifeblood comes from. But also tell all your friends that play video games about Podcast Beyond, because a lot of people still don't know. So please get the word out. Find us on iTunes, rate us, and et cetera.
Podcast Unlocked.
And Podcast Unlocked, our Xbox brother podcast. Or sister podcast.
Sister, even though it's all dudes.
Kind of, then a brother podcast. Yeah. No.
Nope, sister. Sister Stick podcast. With it. Stick okay. with it.
So, Colin, you did want to bring up a few topics before we end the show today.
I just felt like we should talk about PlayStation in 2012.
All right,
and
let's do it.
Specifically,
you're the PlayStation.
Yeah.
The last this 4 years have been the year.
This is it.
Keep your fingers crossed, boys. So I kind of just want to talk about PS3 exclusives. I wrote a list here. Mitch aptly wrote Sound Shapes on it, but that's a Vita
game.
Were
just going PS3.
Yeah, because everything on Vita, well, not everything, but most of the Vita games are exclusive.
Okay. Okay.
But the PS3 games that I could think of that are coming out this year, or maybe coming out this year, or not even confirmed to exist, but may come out this year. It's like Sly 4 from Sanzaru, of course, which I'm very excited about.
Mm-hmm. Game looks great.
Dust 514 from CCP. Mm-hmm. The Last of Us may or may not come out this year. I suspect it's going to, but maybe I'm wrong. That's from Naughty Dog. The Last Guardian, which, you know, as a listener to Podcast Beyond, no, I think it'll never come out. But the rumor is that, like, everyone internally at Sony is now working on The Last Guardian. We had a story.
Everybody.
We had a story that, like, a couple weeks ago that Santa Monica is working on it. They're helping to work on it. Because they, you know, put games out.
Because they're amazing.
Little Big Planet Karting was just announced, and that's going to come out by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Sorcery comes out in May, I believe, and that game looks really cool. I played it. It is cool. And then there are some other games. Like, so Title Fight has been rumored. We don't really know anything about it yet.
This was the rumored compilation fighting game similar to Smash Brothers, but with PlayStation characters.
Indeed. And I'm excited about the prospect of playing something like that. We'll see if that's real. God of War 4 has been heavily rumored. I think it's inevitably real based on everything that we've seen online. People have put it on there. Resumes online that they
I've got
worked
it, dude.
On.
I've got it downstairs. Let's go. Play.
Okay, cool. So presumably that will come out of Santa Monica at some point, but who knows? And then of course, Kara is not the game, but Quantic Dream's engine, and we'll see. Yeah, and we'll see what the deal is with that. That would be nice if that game came out by the end of the year, but probably not.
By the way, Beyond fans, if you guys haven't seen it already, go to the PlayStation channel or just Google it. But there's a making of Kara for the Kara video, and it's really cool. We posted it yesterday.
Yep.
I suggest everyone take a look. It was really interesting.
I'm very excited. I mean, I'm excited for PlayStation fans that Quantic Dream is stuck with the PlayStation family, at least for one more game to see. Because I'm really surprised. I'm actually authentically surprised by that. I was positive that if Quantic Dream wasn't going to be bought by Sony, that they were going to go multi-platform, but they didn't. So Sony probably threw them a lot of money, or maybe they just like working on PlayStation 3. I know that David Cage was saying that they know what they're doing on PS3 now. And when you look at Heavy Rain and you look at Kara, I mean, these are like two very different looking games.
The Kara short film, if you guys didn't look at the little note beforehand, that is in-engine in real time running on a PS3.
That is what that game would look like.
Which would... Forget about it.
That's why David Cage says they don't even need a new console.
Yeah.
And I agree with him.
Yep. Yeah. I love David Cage.
So
that guy's so awesome.
He's like the PlayStation's Peter Molyneux.
but he makes
sense.
Let's ignore Title Fight because we don't really even know what the deal is with Title Fight.
Right.
And God of War 4, even though I'm sure it's real, we don't really know.
I think we'll hear about both of those at E3.
Yeah, probably. So we have all these other games to talk about. Now, I'm kind of curious. We'll start maybe with Mitch.
So,
which of these, I mean, from this smorgasbord of games, this isn't as compelling as last year's offerings, in my opinion. I mean, we had Killzone and Resistance and Uncharted, I think, were probably the trifecta of last year, and along with such smash hits as PlayStation Move Heroes.
Right.
Winner.
And Ratchet and Clank All for One.
Yep. And an Ape Escape PlayStation Move.
Ratchet and Clank All for One was fine.
No, it wasn't. My nephew loves that game.
Yeah.
What do any of these games appeal to you?
Oh yeah, many, almost all of them actually. Okay. Like your list is a list of games that I will actually play on PlayStation this year. Sly 4, of course. I just bought Sly for the first time.
The collection.
Yeah, which I played old Sly's, didn't finish. So now I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna finish Sly, and then hey, where'd time go?
Yep,
and like it does. So you know,
IGN way.
So I'm gonna dabble in the old ones before 4 comes out, and then really dig into 4 and play through that one for sure. It looks great. Dust 5-on-4, like the game is conceptually amazing. We're going to hear more about it in a bit. Kez is over in Iceland right now, seeing it.
She actually was seeing it just hours ago.
Yep,
so.
She was tweeting that it was hot shit.
Yeah, that it was really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the game's the concept of that game is incredible. Like
if you don't know about Dust 514, you can go on to IGN.com and watch my Learn the Basics video.
Bam! Good. Save me having to talk about it.
There you go.
The Last of Us, it's Naughty Dog. You know, hopefully the story is really good because that universe looks amazing.
I have no doubt that game's going to blow fucking minds away.
Is Amy Hennig working on that?
I don't know if that's clear. Probably not.
Probably not. I would agree with you.
But I trust the Naughty Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys really know.
Even though, like, I have considerable issues with Uncharted 3, that game looks amazing.
I thought the story was good, too.
Especially Kurt and David.
Oh, Kurt.
Love those guys.
David's mad at me, I think, because he was...
He was here, and you totally ignored him.
I didn't ignore
him.
He was like, I heard you're hanging out all night. And I'm like, no, I got plans tonight. Sorry. But he was like teasing me because he already knew.
I think I met that guy. We're really drunk.
It's entirely possible. Yeah, I think you did actually. Because Kurt was definitely there.
Oh, maybe that
Kurt
was him.
Is the tall one.
Yep, that was him.
That
Kurt.
Tall.
Hi, Kurt.
Handsome devil. I think David's the only one that actually listens to the show. Or wait, does Kurt also listen to the show?
I don't know. I know David does.
Beyond@IGN.com. Let us know.
And let us know what you're working on.
Yeah, also that.
Yeah, give us an update on Last of Us.
So, Clements, I mean,
yeah,
do any of these games appeal to you?
Little Big Planet is right up Ryan's alley.
Little
Big Planet karting. I actually met some of the Media Molecule Facts folks, speaking of Little Big Planet, at our IGN's party during GDC, and they were super nice. I really like those guys. Let's see.
Were they very British?
Damn it, you beat me too.
Actually, one of them is from here, and one of them was Scottish, I think, and so there was only one Brit in the three of them. Yeah.
Fair enough.
One of them was actually X1UP.
Alice.
Yes.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
So, what was I saying? Oh,
video
yeah, about
games.
These games. Can I see this list? Can I visualize? Can I look at it? Pass that on over to me, big guy. There it is. Thank you.
And by the way, I just want to say that I'm sure I forgot a few exclusives that are coming out this year, but that's all I can come to mind.
I think I'm most interested in... I mean, I definitely want to see how Dust 514 plays, you know, because I'm pumped about that. But the ones that I like know that I will probably fall in love with are Last of Us and whatever Quantic Dream does next. I honestly wish Kara was their next game.
Really?
Like, I'm totally
convinced.
There's no reason that whatever they're working on can't be in that universe, whatever
exactly.
that is.
And that's the thing. I mean, think about the casting call. I don't know if you guys remember, but I'm pretty sure that the girl in the casting call was a side character in
Lauren.
Heavy Rain, right?
It was Lauren.
Yeah.
The mother, the grieving mother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like,
she was a major character. So,
yeah, actually.
So who knows?
That's true. So that's why I think it's really fascinating. Like they say it's not their game, but they could do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
That could be their game.
Yep.
Their game could just be a playable version of that short film where you just press buttons the whole time, like a rhythm game.
Put the plates on the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
That trophy was annoying.
That was me putting plates on.
Good.
Table.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like
thanks,
it.
Thanks.
I want whatever Sucker Punch is working on, and I want to know, and I want to play it, and I want to caress its sweet, sweet body.
My theory is that it's an Infamous game on Vita.
We'll
see what comes of that.
Yep.
I wish it was Infamous 3, but you know, people that beat the game know that that's probably not going to be possible.
That is a considerable issue.
Shit.
Depending on how you beat the game, of course. So maybe it's another story in that universe or whatever, but I just don't know. I don't know if Sucker Punch wants to walk away from Infamous yet. I don't know if that's a good idea.
There's a lot to do.
Hey, Colin, you know what we shouldn't walk away from?
What?
Is our tester interview that we did.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that.
Why don't we quickly throw that in there for everyone that wants to hear the latest contestant that was booted off the tester? Let's hear more from them right this instant now. All right, we are back with Quaja Monster. Hello, how are you today?
I'm doing lovely. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us. Now, I guess I do have some questions courtesy of Greg Miller, but I also have some of my own. So I'm going to start with a official Greg Miller question because he couldn't be on the show with us today.
Boss man.
Boss man couldn't be here. But he wants to know, could you believe that you were eliminated before Seuss Gaiden? How do you feel about that?
Oh, man. I was infuriated, and it was, I think, the worst feeling knowing that it was because of a beach twig that this guy didn't got to go on further than me.
The beach twig. I watched this yesterday, and I felt so bad when you were just holding on to the stick that wasn't even part of the game.
Yeah, and then it was funny because after the challenge, Alec was like, we need to get the beast twig out of the play area. That way no one else mistakes it for an item. And I just threw it back into the area. I'm like, you find it.
So I would like to, I think that the loss there was a technicality, really. I mean, if you would have only known what you were going for, it would have turned out better.
I should have listened a little more. Obviously, Christy was like, you know, I found a basket and other various items. I should have clicked that into my mind that maybe it's going to be bigger than this 1.5-inch fucking beach twig.
Older.
She's
on the right podcast.
Yeah, she is. She certainly joined the right show. So at what point did you realize that you were probably going to be on your way out?
It was basically after we had just finished doing the challenge, and I had taken my blindfold off and realized that, you know, the first thing I saw was that giant white horse standing there, and I kind of, like, you know, I looked up at the gods, and I was like, fuck! So I was just, like, so infuriated.
Just like Kratos would do, except maybe a little less vulgar.
Athena!
Athena! Oh man, so yeah, what was really, I thought, sad is that you basically went home like right after that challenge and just started packing up, which was very melancholic, and I totally felt for you during that section of the show.
Well, I appreciate your sympathy to me, but I had started packing because I realized that this was a big fuck up, and I'm not too Skyden, you know, I'm not the drama queen, I'm not there for drama purposes, so even though, you know, I did mess up, and I think that I was a really big part of the show, that, you know, that wasn't going to keep me on.
Yeah, I hear that. So what? Tell us what you are up to right now. What's on your schedule?
What are you doing right now?
Right, well, maybe not right this instant, but in life in general, that's what I want to know.
Well, right now I'm just laying on my bed talking to you lovely people. But
sounds good.
I'm currently trying to find a job with Sony. Any job I can possibly do. I will even clean toilets. I will clean Sony toilets, but I'm really just trying to look for any job, trying to get into the industry. Because, I mean, I've shown that I have a passion for the industry. I had my head in a fucking box of stinky-ass cockroaches just for a chance to get a job there. So, I mean, obviously, I'm willing to do things that other people necessarily aren't to be able to, you know, contribute to something that I really, really love. So,
right. So I'm doing. Yeah, Colin, did you want to chime in?
Yeah, I'm actually going to talk.
All right, let's do it. Talk.
So that's actually an interesting segue into a question I'm kind of curious about, which is that you're saying, you know, you'll do anything to get into the industry, and obviously Ryan and I certainly did anything to get into the industry as well. So we sympathize with that. So what exactly do you think you want to do? I mean, ideally, what position would you want at, say, a developer?
I would actually like to do kind of storyboard development type stuff, not necessarily the programming, because I'm not, like, that big of a nerd.
Right. Certainly.
I was an English major. I'm really into creative writing. I'm really good at developing stories, characters, environments. I'm really vivid with my details, so I think that it would be awesome. And also, I like the obscure games, like, you know, like Katamari, and, you know, like, I think Little Big Planet's kind of, you know, a little crazy and out there too, with the different stuff that you do in the game. So I kind of want to bring, like, new ideas for video games for the future.
Cool.
And what, you know, since you kind of had a shot to work at a Sony first party or whatever, I mean, obviously things didn't pan out with Santa Monica or whatever, but which first party developer or developers that Sony owns would you ideally want to land at if it was up to you?
Oh, anything.
Anything at all. So
anything.
You don't have a preference. Like, you wouldn't want to be at Naughty Dog or Sucker Punch or Studio Japan or Polyphony. You'd go to any of them.
Anything.
Interesting.
Can you speak any other languages besides English?
Spanish?
Oh, okay, cool. Well, you might need to practice if you wanted to end up in Japan, but
yeah, that's interesting. I mean,
you know what?
Oh, go ahead.
I look the part. I can just look at them and smile or do the awkward laugh like I understand. I'm pretty sure that I can make it at least a month doing that.
Okay, just like pretending that you understand what they're saying.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Their games don't really come out anyway. All right, so you said you'd go anywhere, but I guess, because I'm kind of curious, you know, where your passion lies within the first party. I mean, what is your favorite first party developer?
Dun, dun, dun. Did we stump you on this one?
I think so. I mean, I'm not.
Well,
I'm
what's?
Not really,
yeah, what's what's your favorite like Sony developed game? I guess is an easier question then.
Like Sony exclusive, like PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, like one of their studios they own.
Yeah.
Prep for the Rapper. Sure, that's such a classic game. It's one of the first music games to ever come out in gaming, and just the whole paper effect that they did back in the day, that was pretty fucking, like, that was like 3D paper. Like, how do you get 3D paper?
You make a game about rapping, I guess. I guess that's how you do it.
I remember getting that game for Christmas. I loved it.
Yeah, that is.
Girl, like.
That is a classic.
Certainly didn't expect that as the answer.
Yeah, I didn't
but
either.
But a good answer nonetheless.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously us English majors have to stick together. So you said you were into creative writing and telling stories. Do you have any particular favorite types of stories you like to tell, be it realistic, science fiction, fantasy, rapping, 3D paper?
I usually do like kind of... realistic things.
Cool.
That's what I was told to write in my creative writing classes.
Okay.
But I mean, well, I'm really into like, you know, Lord of the Rings and shit like that too. Like Warcraft,
shit like that.
I'm into that like fantasy kind of shit too. I've never actually sat down and like tried to write something like that, but I mean, I've got some like crazy shit going in my brain. As Sky Diddy would say, you know, my brain juices are always flowing. So.
Brain juices are always flowing. What do you think of Sky Diddy, by the way?
I love Sky Diddy. I actually got to see him a couple weeks ago in California, and I missed him so much. He's just such a character.
He is a character. He like stood out to me right away when I was watching that show. Now, I guess another Greg Miller question that he wanted me to ask you was, would you do all this again for another shot at it?
Oh, I would definitely do it again. I mean, I didn't even think that I would make it past, like, episode 2. So just for me to know that I made it that far, and I know where I made my mistakes, and, you know, where I was strong and a good team player, so... If I could do it again, I would totally do it again, and this time I would totally take it all.
Awesome.
It's mine.
Bold,
but I like it. Excellent. And then my last Ryan Clements question is, do you watch Japanese animation?
Yes.
You do. Can you name your favorite anime for us? Think
favorite
hard.
Favorite anime? Oh, man, this is hard. Probably Lucky Star or
Mitsudomoe. Oh, wow. That is an awesome choice. I love Lucky Star. Well done. You've just earned great win points for me.
Great win points?
Great win points for you.
All right. And I have one final question. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you say again, Quajamonster?
Well, yeah. I was just going to say, like, most people don't know what Lucky Star is, so I think that it's really awesome that you do know what it is. I think it's the most random, like, pointless anime, but I love it so much.
Oh, it's a fantastic slice of life show. I have seen that show many times. I love it.
Clements loves his anime.
I do love my anime. I know. I'm pretty well-versed in it.
I'm going to the anime convention in April.
To which one?
Anime Central.
Oh, nice. Where is that in SoCal? Where is that?
It is in Chicago.
Oh, in Chicago. Oh, okay. Cool. Oh.
Greg Miller's hometown. So I want one, you know, just for the PlayStation faithful out there that are kind of curious about your preferences or whatever, and I kind of already tried to extract some other information about you. I'm curious. My last question is, what is your most anticipated upcoming PlayStation exclusive? It could be on Vita or it could be on PS3.
PlayStation exclusive?
Yep.
Yes.
Probably
Starhawk. Starhawk, interesting.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
Clements and I just we were just down talking to Harvard playing that game in Santa Monica not too long ago.
Yeah.
But the correct answer was The Last of Us.
The correct answer. what you should be looking forward to. All right. Well, Quajamonster. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate all your time and best of luck to you in the future.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Of course.
Beyond.
Beyond. Oh, wait, yeah, you have to say Beyond as part of our podcast tradition.
Beyond?
Excellent.
With a question mark.
With a little bit of a question mark, but never I liked that it. One. It added some one. Character. Yeah. Thank you very much to Quasha Monster for joining us on that interview. Sorry it took till the end of the show for me to remember to put it in there. But yeah, so that was that.
Riveting stuff.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for joining us. That was a fun interview. Colin and I actually had a good time chatting it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What else, boys? That's got it. Anything else?
Final Fantasy is coming back, right? Final Fantasy X? Is that coming to PS3 too?
Oh, yeah, HD collection. Or, I mean, just HD.
Collection of one.
Collection of one. Single game collection.
I don't know if that's going to be this year, though.
Really?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what's
going on? We don't know
anything
about it. You know, like
you guys see, Kyle, you missed the biggest news that you can download fucking Mass Effect N7 armor into Final Fantasy 13 too.
Did you see that trailer? Yeah.
That's corny.
Yeah, it's something.
So corny.
It looks so out of place. And also the trailer they released is...
The ending of the game.
The ending of the game. It's like spoilers, and then it's the end boss fight.
It's the end the boss fight with them wearing the N7 armor, and it's just showing them beating the boss.
Like, you could have picked any other moment in that game, and it would have been totally appropriate.
What the hell are you doing?
I don't know, man.
God bless you.
God bless them. Yeah, I mean, sometimes they know. Sometimes they get their shit together in such a miraculous and beautiful way, and other times it's just N7 armor in Final Fantasy 13.
I theorized this morning that the other end of that thing is going to be Final Fantasy is going to be the new Mass Effect 3 ending, and that's their crossover.
Oh, man.
Final Fantasy cross something. Mass Effect.
Yep.
Yeah, there
love
you go.
It.
It's a fighting game. I think that's going to be it for us today. What do you
guys
think?
Wrap it up.
It was a long show.
Yeah, it has been a good one, though. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me today on
my
Podcast
pleasure.
Beyond. Remember, you can follow all of us on IGN as well as Twitter. My Twitter name is Pwam Cider, P-W-A-M Cider. Colin is No Taxation, all one word. And Mitch is?
At Mitchy D.
Mitchy D.
Can I ask about Pwam Cider? What does that mean?
Oh, man.
I've always wondered.
The very short, I've said this before in the podcast, the very short, I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, it's fine.
we have a habit of ending this show with a song. So I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to play a song from Brian who wrote in saying, my band's name is Cold Heart Repress. We are a rock punk band from Sacramento, and I would be honored to have one of our songs played on the show. This track is called Heartless Beat, and we will be touring the West Coast this summer and can be found on Facebook and ReverbNation.com. Thank you and keep on beoning. This is Cold Heart Repress, R-E-Press. And this is their track called Heartless Beat, which I thought was pretty rad. And that's going to be about it. Thank you again, gentlemen. Beyond.
Beyond!
Beyond.
Boiling, you don't mind the baskets overflowing, the eggs. Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.